the sound that is not my name. Mr. Brown, Mr. White, that no right, lad. And every time I hear the sound, every time I hear the sound, every time I hear the sound. In a dance, I jump on a prance, rocking every dub in steady dance, I'll cock and the gun start bark. That's every time I hear the sound, and every time I hear the sound. Every time I hear the sound, the sound, the sound, the sound, the sound. Green Bay evening tide, nearly 200 old lady died. You can't hide. Every time I hear the sound. 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 The sound, the sound, the sound, the sound. Them say run, don't walk, shut your mouth, don't talk. Them say comb your head, nasty dread. Them say drum and bass no have no tears. Them say disco beat sound more sweet. La, and every time I hear the sound. Every time I hear the sound. Every time I hear the sound. Every time I hear the sound, the sound, the sound, the sound. Listen.
Welcome to Sonic Lit. I'm Jason Camelot. I'm here with...
Catherine McLeod.
Wow, we reversed that, Catherine.
That was the first time we reversed it since starting the show. Yeah. And that worked pretty well. You just heard Muda Baraka with the poem, Every Time I Hear the Sound. That was a live recording. And that song and that sound has been playing in our heads since last week when we returned from the Spoken Web Sound Institute. It was an audio clip that Michael Bucknor played during his presentation at the Spoken Web Sound Institute, and it really became something that resonated, I think, for many of us that heard that, and it ended up being something he even repeated later when we recorded a manifesto. So what were we doing recording a manifesto and being at a Spoken Web Sound Institute? That's going to be the theme for today, sounds from the Institute, to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to traveling to the Spoken Web Sound Institute, and also to bring you some of the sounds that we heard there. I think that by getting to hear some of the sounds that presenters, performers played, quite literally, at the Institute, you'll get a bit of a sense of the sound of the Spoken Web Institute. So, Jason, well, first of all, it was in BC. We just came back from BC.
Yeah, I'm still a little jet lagged, actually. we were on the UBCO campus, so UBC Okanagan campus, which is in Kelowna, mm-hmm. and it was hosted by Kara Shearer, who basically with Clara Duplessis and Cole Mash and Aaron Scott and a great team mm-hmm. of students there, put together a most amazing gathering of scholars, poets, performers, archivists mm-hmm. to talk about sound archives, especially spoken word archives and literary sound archives.
Yeah, and Spoken Web, you're listening to Sonic Lit, a Spoken Web radio show. Spoken Web is a research partnership with teams all across Canada, and the UBC Okanagan team, they've been, involved right from the beginning, even in some of the early, the early iterations of Spoken Web, and their collection that they call the Soundbox Collection has really unique set of tapes that really focus on recordings of BC writers, and I think the place really resonated in its sound of our experience there too. We got to hear some readings by poets like Sharon Thiessen and Daphne Marlett, and also, you know, think about the ways in which poets are also not just reinterpreting and remediating works by those poets, but also rethinking poetry and its relationship to the place there as well.
Yeah, we also did a lot of listening.
Yeah, we did.
We did a lot of listening to recorded sounds, archival sounds that people had brought out and were presenting on, also to each other. I mean, it started on Wednesday. I think I flew in on Wednesday. Yeah. That evening, we met up. This was all arranged for us, but we met up at a brew pub where they had taken over the upstairs and covered all the tables with these huge pieces of paper, supplied us with markers and things, and essentially had us listening to archival poetry recordings, and we were just drawing and talking to each other and listening at the same time. And so it was a kind of casual entry into the gathering that way.
Like a warm-up, a listening practice to just like warm up those listening muscles.
Yeah, but then it started in earnest the next day, and the opening panel was a panel I happened to be on, and it was a panel that focused on some of these key terms, data, you know, mm-hmm. which is really, you know, what we're listening to in a lot of ways, especially when it's been digitized and turned into digital data. What were some of the other terms? Institutions. I added community to the mix.
Yeah. I was just thinking of actually quite literally for me, I flew in during that day. And so I got to see the photos of that panel. Mm. And I felt like I was like hearing the panel vis-a-vis the photos. And if you do check out Spoken Web's social media presence, especially on Instagram, you'll see posts by the AMP Lab, which is the lab at UBC Okanagan that, you know, the Spoken Web team has been based out of, and they have also a very active social media presence. So if you want to sort of experience the sound of what we're talking about today via the visuals, there's actually a lot to look at.
Yeah. So we're gonna play a bunch of sounds that we heard at the Institute that relate to the Institute. We're gonna start with something that came out of the panel. So I was on this panel with Deanna Rader, who's an Indigenous scholar from Simon Fraser University, Deanna Fong, who currently lives in Montreal and has worked for the Capilano Uruvu, but also has been the producer and editor of the Fred Waugh online archive. Hmm. And Wendy Wong, also, who's from UBCO, who's a social scientist and who sort of has really been doing a lot of research on ethics surrounding data made available in relation to AI. And so our panel was sort of thinking about all the ways in which we've been mobilizing data, talking about getting consent from people to play sounds. In fact, the sounds you're about to hear were from a reading series that took place in 1995, 1996 in Montreal. I should say a spoken word series, really. And in order for us to make these sounds available, first of all, they were sent to us by someone who had collected them on videotape long ago. Then we reached out to all of the performers to get permission, consent to share them in a variety of ways, including in an online presentation of them so that people can listen to them. Very recently, I've started doing watch parties of these videos with those performers and have asked them to engage in annotating them. So basically adding metadata about the videos and sounds that we're hearing, adding comments about like what was happening in this scene, who's speaking, those kinds of things. And all of that is part of the topics that we were actually discussing on this panel. I didn't actually play these in my presentation. I was mostly just talking about how institutions move us towards a kind of isomorphic or meaning sort of a standardized, similar forms of describing things versus communities which are extremely diverse and particular and which in a way demand breaking out of that isomorphism that institutions or standardized forms of metadata and data demand. And so at the very end of my talk, I basically just put on one slide where I showed all this metadata that we'd created about this Enough Said spoken word collection mm-hmm. that we've been developing, but then also had these little videos of the actual performances playing, which was kind of like supposed to be a mini curation of the community speaking back against the standardized metadata that was being used to describe them.
Right.
But today on the show, we're just going to hear the sounds of these performances. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great, because I was thinking of just sharing before we actually hear the sounds that your talk title was it All Archives, all archives are community archives.
All, or
was it
all institutional archives are community archives? Right. Yeah. So often these community archives get deposited at institutions, whether they're universities or Library Archives Canada or other institutional official archives, but they remain community archives, obviously, in what traces of those communities exist in the archival materials, but also, which was sort of the point of my thesis, in how the institutions need to be responsible and have a kind of ethics of care in relation to the communities that produce those archival materials in the first instance, giving them access to them, doing things with them, not only making them accessible, but sometimes withholding certain things at the request of those communities, etc.
Right. Well, that's great, Jason. I felt like the title really was an argument in and of itself. And so I thought, you know, we can prompt listeners to listen for the ways in which all institutional archives are community archives while listening. So,
So what we're going to hear are just two excerpts of performances from an Enough Said poetry omnibus show that happened at Maison Danse, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was kind of this is mid-1990s, so everything was for rent in Montreal and available for art as an art space. And this was one of those sort of warehouse type spaces on Pine Avenue, where a lot of the performers in the city, English and French, gathered to do different kinds of spoken word performance or conceptual performance or other things. And we're going to hear first the dub poet Dee Smith, who did recently join us at the watch party, and it was pretty cool to hear her responses to herself performing back in 1995. Followed by Fortner Anderson, who was a real staple on the spoken word scene in Montreal and still is, and giving one of his vintage bombastic spoken word performances. We're going to play those back to back, so it's going to be a bit of a stretch of sounds from the Enough Said poetry performance party 1995 held at Maison Danse in Montreal.
I wrote this piece last night. So just give me your opinion on it, all right? Talking about you loving me this way, you loving me that way. See, live in a world where the focus is diamond and pearls. Love is so rare, if lucky, try and find it, my dear. Love is right when it's neither black nor white. Love, true love, comes like a blessing from above. So how can you say that you love when you're busy acting so tough? See, love is for those who care and are always willing to share. I want you to be the in me, and I want to be the why in you. I want to be the why in you, and you to be the in me. Talking about loving you this way, and me loving you that way. Yeah. Now, with all the loving going around, there's one thing we need to pay special attention to. And you just see if you can figure what it's all about. You see, man and woman have it. Some choose to spread it. Children could definitely do without it. Thousands have and will die from it. The church lady said she don't want to have nothing to do with it. Preaching that is ungodly, people cause it. Well, society agree with her, claiming that alternative lifestyles must be blamed for it. While ignorance spreading it, I will do what is necessary not to catch it, while continuing to educate others about the facts of it. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Now, the next piece, I'll definitely need your participation. I just want you to keep a steady rhythm going, something like this. Say what a hell, me say what a situation. Hard life I take the poor of the nation. What a hell, what a situation. Some willing for stand and reputation. You know, for promotion and prestige, some willing to seize. And care not if them use underhanded means. Say what a hell, what a hell, what a condition. No new plans for alleviation. What a hell, what a hell, mental starvation. Going about new arbitration. Well, the disease called poor, some can't take it no more, so them totally flip out and I take hand out. In a democratic society, some a live off a charity, money under the priority. Them claim is humanity. So what a hell, what a hell, what a situation. Going about new arbitration. What a hell, what a hell, to change the situation. We have to come up with new creation. What a hell, what a hell, me say what a situation. No new plans for alleviation. What a hell, for change the situation. We have to come up with new creation. We have to come up with new creation. You like that one? All right. I can never perform without giving respect to women, regardless of...
Our next performer is half of the team that makes this whole event possible, and a man who's probably knows more about spoken word than anybody in Montreal, just about, Mr. Fortner Anderson.
I hate these poems. They stink of the good book and self-pity in the faculty lounge. They squirm out of that dirty nest, mewl and cry for a mommy and a daddy so strong. I hate these poems. They flash some sagging pink cheek up and down Albert Drive, peddling their lousy rhymes to the cops and the suits. They piss out measured phrases from wizened lips, puckered to suck the crumbs off Mr. Martin's table. I hate these poems, these grasping, grant-sucking hacks who shout out about big feelings and big thoughts and about big lives. These big-bellied windbags who took a risk once when they had hair. And whose glistening tongues stretch down from the stage and do you when your back's turned. I hate these snot-nosed, butt-dragging posers who wring their soft hands and raise their tinny voices to an audience of one. The lamentations from the postmodern lazy boy. I hate their failure and mine. I want my poems to drag their awkward verses up the 238 stations of the Oratory of St. Joseph. I want those crippled phrases to toss aside the crutches of alcoholism, drug addiction, obsessive compulsive eating disorders, shameful sexual dysfunction. I want them to cure chilblains, relieve menstrual cramps, and remove unwanted facial hair. I want them to express the one true God in a blinding white light of Gaia and Bodhisattva and the joyous inner child. I want my poems blinded by the state for abominable crimes against the purity of children. I want them to wander the length and breadth of the main with beatific smiles and bad teeth, with palms outstretched, offering instant mortality to all who pass. I want my poems a blazing holiday pyre, consumed in public squares, a futile protest against la petite vie quotidienne. I want them to send me babbling into the Warshaw dumpster, escaping truths too bright and too terrible to live. Every Monday, 9 p.m., I want my poems stuttered, whispered, and screamed at the bistro cat. Clutching the scraps of last week, pushing that hard word up the back of my spine, exploding the word and the cum and the jism out of the top of my head, and letting us all bathe in our common humanity for one warm and blessed moment. And then I want them stifled and dead, forgotten, so I can get on with it alone.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
We're listening to Leaf Leaf Sounds. Leaf Leaf Sounds is a multi-track sound piece remixing a digitized 1969 reel-to-reel recording of Daphne Marlett reading a poem from her book, Leaf Leafs. It's a sound piece that was created by Zhaozhuang Wang. We heard it at the Spoken Web Sound Institute just last week. We're listening to the recording that's available on the Soundbox at UBC Okanagan's Soundbox website, and you're about to hear Marlett's voice come in over top of some ambient guitar drones and field recordings captured by the artist herself, Zhaozhuang Wang, between 2021 and 2022.
This is Daphne Marlett reading Leaf Leafs, published by the Black Sparrow Press, and right now it's July 25th or 24th or 26th, one of those days, 1969 in Vancouver.
we're also hearing the voice of Warren Tallman. That was him introducing the poem and the recording that was made with him there listening in 1969.
Our house address in Bloomington, Indiana, and a sense of beginning there, moving into that house, which was a very peculiar, old, shaky place. Getting my feet on the ground. Visual and clarity of vision, seeing. But what I meant when I was writing it was that I suddenly had a sense of clarity of language. Parts of mourning for 7:14. 1. That petal's veins, rift blue, paired with razor, edge, tired eyes against the gold dust daisies. In a jug dies slowly into water, seeping pink. 2. Moon drops early, roused rocks dry already, a firefly. Threats rain, it flickers, green light over, night sinks, rust. 3. White hood of a white pickup parked on green. Trucks can be steam risers, lettered white hollyhocks of sun, a whirl, Cezanne in a tall tree. 4. Like it, flowers hail outside our back door, stars, saws, worm clots trod, morning, glories and deeper small shells. A micturition and eyelash caught in eyes, liquid, parts, where I squat, hot hands, hot day sprays, my feet. Rain, beams, black, light, six globes, well, to collect the sky. Made tenuous, love is not the lines run into fish water, pulls up, nothing loses, whatever name, tree, silk or wet sleeves, hustle sky. Love a word without roots, light bends a line going under water as forms do that wait to be gripped. Provocative extant, a jerk not to be measured. No sky bends down shoulders, force a fluttery tree. Burns against it. Growth measured form, shoulders care for such extent. Down below the river blows, caught in its dried ice, sharpened houses, fishing for. Out the house loves tyrannized, your mouth throws up gates. Hold, if you think so, then let's go or let some rapids in the ditch. Your cheek, how light pinkens on the inside step through windows and sunnet starred tongue. The ways we've taken anyways congeal and glitter. As to snow. Morning, later than I think, sun douses. Oven table walls of world words float, settles. Dust filaments netting the clear surface, wake the clear cigarette. At plate's edge from the window wells, their rock plank ash can of these. Dialogue. Such hazard as my body's threat, death informs the take. Pictures. What words I read, she almost died of, caught on the steep verge of it, down the pitch of sleep. Words fail, a show's choice, ding-a-ring, to be dying on the run. Wherever in the back court, backstop, stings with a smart ball to raw hands, the give and take of it. Of to mother. This window melt, and snow kittens one, black two white tiger striped the. Black one shrills loudest when she's missed. Your letter said voice, what is most close recalls, better than to snap the snowy house. Breath held holds the shutter down in tent dusk, the kitten. In their box, nightmare or hiccup sound less. Bottle I blow over a mouth, vibrates lip sounds, burr of blue. Please, if I blow, you might respond. Who blows me from your lips' air? Lynn, who has been shoveling snow. Wet hair, a cold, the cold gleams you wet, fortunes turn. Your card given, crystals reflect you. Rains enrich, your finger extended wants to know. You type? Showing you my fingers do walk, their speak hair caught, dropped water barrettes. Better than a million movies kept. When they tore off the roof rainbow, the tractor's claw dug walls fell. A pack of cards topped the whole hell. Oh, face, you aren't accustomed to look at life. Save as you offered me lime, greens your mouth. Bird dropped in, linnet, how's your new house? Green's black, I think, druidic your robe on a white door. Shed in going keeps density. I will not pluck your sleeve, which hangs even in itself.
We've been listening to Leaf Leaf Sounds, a multi-track sound piece created by Zhaozhuang Wang and based on a recording of a poem by Daphne Marlett. Jason, what a treat to think about what we were listening to there. We got to hear a little bit of that piece at the Spoken Web Sound Institute, which was our inspiration for playing it on today's show. But today we got to listen to it with headphones on and really immerse ourselves in the sound of it. What did you notice while you were listening?
Well, that's a very it's a very soft piece. And I like Zhaozhuang's treatment of it. Was really sensitive, I found. It starts off very, very softly. So this is a good example of a lot of the work that artists and archivists, you know, through Spoken Web have been doing with archival material. So it's not just about sort of making them available for academic research, but actually taking these materials and trying to make new works out of them. And yeah, maybe it's not the most obvious piece to play on the radio because it's extremely soft. We've been trying to boost it so that it can be heard, you know, over the signal. But and it opens, you know, from the archival reel-to-reel tape recording just of some footsteps being sounded, right? So it's not even clear exactly what one is listening to at the beginning. We have to situate ourselves in relation to it. And then we have Warren Tallman, who was Daphne Marlett's teacher, you know, at Simon Fraser University back in the 60s.
And actually possibly, I think it was UBC.
Oh, at UBC. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. On the, you know, at the West Coast. And they were part of, I mean, Daphne and George Bowering and others were founders of what became known as the Tisch movement, but largely under Warren Tallman's influence, who Warren Tallman was an Americanist. So he was studying American literature and he was bringing in sort of New York School and San Francisco.
Yeah, the new American poets.
Yeah, the new American poets to Canada and to the West Coast. And so a lot of the experiments that Daphne and others were pursuing were based on the influence of poets like Charles Olston, Allen Ginsberg, Denise Levertov, others who Tallman brought into town. Excuse me.
Yeah. Also, too, just thinking about the context for the 1969 reel-to-reel recording that Zhaozhuang works with, that if we imagine just the setup of this in Warren Tallman's living room in Vancouver, Daphne Marlett was there as a young writer, you know, talking with her mentor, talking about this poem that she had written. And then she reads out the entire poem to Tallman. And just imagining, you know, that taking place and sort of, I think as, you know, as we listen, we kind of like try to reconstruct that space. We're hearing a bit of it fading in now into the soundscape behind us talking. And, you know, thinking about that idea of like reading a poem out loud to somebody as a way of not only sharing it, but then being able to talk about it together and talk about what they heard in the poem and to record all of that. It's really, really incredible. It's one thing to, you know, share a poem with somebody and have a great conversation about it in their living room and, you know, that's one thing, but to actually record it is another. And so Tallman was, you know, part of a group of poets in Vancouver that also really liked to record things in the 60s. So we're thankful that that recording exists, but we do kind of end up getting this like, as if we're just like sitting there in the room with them and getting to listen to quite an intimate moment of sharing poetry. And I think that comes back to Jason's point in the beginning about how Zhaozhuang also treats it with care and kind of this like there's a gentleness because it also feels like it's like a gentle sound that we're sort of privy to being able to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, one of the amazing things about the institutes that we've been holding annually for the last 7 years, and of this one in particular in relation to this piece, is that often the people involved in these archival recordings that we have been developing and studying are there, right? You know, yes. So at the Institute, like Daphne Marlett was there every day attending mm-hmm. every single session. There were some exhibitions that were developed out of some of the recordings in the Soundbox collection that had mm-hmm. been given to Kara Shearer by Jody Castricano, who was also there and told the story of, you know, the giving of that box.
From Warren Tallman to Jody, yeah, and then exactly. from Jody to Karis. So yeah, and all those stories were in the room with us as people were presenting these.
Yeah, and Shijuan was there presenting this piece with Daphne Marlett in the audience. And then mm-hmm. On another evening, Daphne Marlett gave a reading, you know, from old and new work. Mm-hmm. Fred Waugh was supposed to be there, but couldn't, you know, and so, and Fred Waugh also has tapes in that collection. So it was quite a nice tribute of them reading his work. You know?
Yeah, a number of presenters who are poets who were in the room read from Fred Waugh's work and also from Pauline Butling's work, who was also supposed to be there. And then we ended up actually getting to like hear both Pauline Butling and Fred Waugh's work through the voices of poets who they very much influenced. And so that was also quite inspiring experience sonically to listen to. Also just, you know, then the idea too of like someone like Daphne listening to this, Claire Duplessis wrote a poem that was based on her listening to Leaf Leafs, and that was displayed as an installation in the same room where Zhao Zhuang's sound work was also being shared, and Daphne was listening to it. So there were so many layers of thinking of listening and the spaces and the ways in which, again, not only the sound kind of takes up space in the room, but also the stories and the human, embodied experiences that are being shared there. Also sitting right next to Daphne Marlett while she was listening was Linda Mora, who is a scholar of Canadian literature and who very much influenced how Zhao Zhuang used the thinks about the term moving in this piece that works with archival materials. On the description of the piece that you can find, again, if you check out Leaf Leaf Sounds online, Zhao Zhuang writes that she follows Linda Mora's insightful unpacking of the term moving in the world of archives. And this sound piece is also very much resounding sort of an entangled influences and orientations, and working with the mover's affects, what is moving in this piece, in this sound piece, not only the sounds and the sort of time we're moving back and forth between 1969 and the present, but also the affect of what it feels like to listen to this.
Yeah, the piece continues to move beneath us as we're talking here. I'm left with one last idea about all of these kinds of interactions around archival materials, which was spoken by the director of the Indigitization group, Jerry Lawson, who was there giving a workshop and a presentation. And at a certain point, you know, he was asked about like what kind of metadata standards do you use or recommend? And he said, I don't give a blank about metadata. The main point is to get these materials back to the communities to whom or for whom they have meaning. And the people are the repository. And in some ways, the Institute is kind of an enactment of that idea, where we're spending all this time turning these sounds into data that can be used in information systems. But really, what's most important is the fact that we get to hear these things together, talk about them together. And a lot of the stories coming out of these interactions will be carried by the people who attended and told to others in the future. And that's sort of as powerful, if not even more powerful, a repository as anyone could construct using a server, you know.
Six, to move on, to move out of love's light, the spot too bright to see one's image eye reflectors. 7. Black as her two lips were and spiced show, purple-edged a real backlighting, whose magic magenta's untutored eye reads between the lines, calls pairs, deuces, le, solda, sold out. 8. An immediate rise in the temperature these days of rain leaves us in cold, smoke streamers in a four-star leaves us in cold, smoke as dreamers in a four-star sky, not much to go by love's hand. June to September to June to September. Up that mountain have been too few sunflowers, sunflowers, there as always. Morning glory, simple lunar shine pales, worry unsuspecting grass. Mark who I am, who met you, hooded up the morning side. Now this side of sun.
We're listening to Leaf Leaf Sounds. And you're listening to Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show.
Join Women Aware's annual general meeting June 8th, 2025 to learn more about how our survivor-led nonprofit has been working hard this year to address these topics from an intersectional lens. From providing tailored trainings to community-based events, we are eager to share with you the projects our community spearheaded and led this past year. A Zoom link is provided. And to join our AGM, simply sign up via our social media at womenaware.mtl or check out our website, www.womenaware.ca. Women Aware, by survivors, for survivors.
All right, we're back with Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. So we were just listening to Leaf Leaf Sounds, and today we're thinking about sounds from the Spoken Web Institute that happened last week in Kelowna, BC, that have stayed with us. And also, something that Jason was saying just before we paused there was thinking about the ways in which really it's also about the people gathering and really the stories that we share and how we carry those sounds with us. So, continuing in that spirit, we thought that a sound that we would end with today is a sound of Sonnet LaBaye's singing. And this was something that really, I think, stayed with both of us for a number of reasons. One in which it takes us back to the open mic night that was we'll talk about that in a moment, but I'm going to go to the fact that Sonnet LaBaye brought a guitar up to deliver her talk, to deliver their talk at the Institute. They took to, the podium as if, delivering a conference presentation with slides and everything, but also had a guitar. And they then interspersed sound and singing on the guitar throughout their paper. So we thought that we would find a song that Sonnet LaBaye has performed and play it for you today. And we also reached out to Sonnet to, just see if what is out there that we could share. Because a question that actually came up in the Q&A after was about like sharing one's work, especially when one's say like making an argument through a song, and like how does that work for disseminating it differently than say it's different than publishing a paper, you're putting it out there. So the song that Sonnet sent to us is called Nazanin, and it's called A Song for Nanaimo. And actually, in fact, this really is very much in spirit with some of the songs that they shared at the Institute, because a lot of the songs that were shared were about living in Nanaimo and the experience of being a mixed race performer in Nanaimo, who's currently trying to, channel the blues and think about ways in which, you can actually subvert the themes of the blues and kind of use that as a structure and a space for creating really a political argument through your song. It's called Nazanin, A Song for Nanaimo. And Jason, I just pretty much rambled about my memories of Sonnet's performances at the Institute. How has Sonnet's work stayed with you since that?
Yeah, well, Sonnet, said that they learned to play the guitar really just during the pandemic. So Sonnet LaBaye is a well-known poet in Canada, and has published many books of poetry. But songwriting is sort of a new form that they've been exploring. And what I found really interesting, Sonnet first performed a song at an open mic. You know, in the Enough Said series that we were listening to earlier, when we interviewed Lee Gotham, who organized that series, Lee said when they organized that series, they wanted anything to be performable on stage. So they invited, you know, spoken word, stuff read off the page, performance art, sketches, skits, you know, all kinds of stuff that would eventually be performed at the Fringe Festival, that kind of stuff. But they drew the line at singer-songwriters and comedy, comics, you know. So I thought it was really interesting, you know, that Sonnet at the open mic night broke out a guitar and sang a pretty raunchy song, actually.
Yeah, and you know, it was pretty early on in the night, too. But they were like, their performance was so spectacular that it just like, it could have been the energy that was created there. They really stole the show with that song.
Yeah, but not with their virtuosity on the instrument. They're very good singer, but really with something else, you know. So I think one of the things that Sonnet's really exploring is what songwriting can be outside of the context of the music industry, in a way, what's expected that a singer-songwriter is supposed to be doing. So Sonnet bringing a guitar up to a podium where they're giving a PowerPoint presentation and a lecture, you know, is another form of disruption of our expectations around where songs may be sung and what kind of information or interventions singing a song can be in relation to different kinds of communities or audiences. Yeah. And so that was like the really cool thing about Sonic and song interventions during the Spoken Web Institute last week.
Also, because, you know, we did want to talk about the open mic, and to get this in because we tend to run out of time, the open mic night was called the Inspired Word Cafe. And there are actually a number of people who used that same guitar. It was the same one person's guitar that kept getting shared that night. And even there were some jokes about, you know, it's getting, a round of applause for that, the person that brought the guitar. That open mic night is hosted by Cole Mash and Aaron Scott.
Yeah, and they draw no lines. Yes. So really anything can happen on stage.
You can bring your guitar.
It's the most inclusive, supportive, like really quite amazing open night experience. It was jam-packed. There were like 100 people in this space.
And apparently it was packed before the spoken web people showed up, and so, you know, we really had this mix of the community that meets regularly there for Inspired Word Cafe mixing with spoken web contributors. So one of them was Sonnet LeBay, and we're going to hear her song, hear the song Nazanin right now. Nazanin
is asking everybody, you may have seen the paint on the sidewalks, asking what your vision of Nanaimo's future is. They asked me what I thought, and I started thinking about the questions that I had when I was moving here, and how much I would love to see a whole bunch of diverse young professionals come to town to join me in living here. And so I imagined talking to a friend of mine about Nanaimo, and I wrote this song. Old friend, it's so good to hear from you. You might take a job here on the Mid-Island, doing taxes and filing reports on the prices of locks. You've been thinking of making a move for a while and leaving that big city life. Now you're asking me, am I happy here? And if in Nanaimo a black girl can thrive, Nazanin, you're wondering, should you move to Nanaimo? You heard it's a proud redneck town,
you wanna know, will your boys be okay in the schools? Nor are there that many black people around. Well, girl, the real estate's great and the air is amazing, even when it smells like the mill. And of course there are the mountains, the mild winters and summers on ocean and cedar lime trails. But you cannot get a good jerk chicken to save your life. And when I went to the Queens for the reggae scene, all of the dreadlock rastas were white. But I've been okay here. I fell in love with a redneck or two, but I have been cussed out and someone egged my house. But what are you gonna do? Nazanin, you're wondering, should you move?